Actually, I think it can be said that a celebration was the last thing in the world that Mary expected as she approached the tomb of her Lord in that early morning hour that we read of today. The last few days in her life had been nothing to celebrate. Oh, sure, there were people who were certainly celebrating, leaders within the Jewish world that were glad that Jesus was finally out of the way. The Roman soldiers were celebrating. Their grisly work of crucifixion had been done. But Mary had nothing to celebrate. To her, the last few days had brought only horror and tragedy. The memories of what had happened to her master and Lord were literally seared into Mary's mind. She had been there when the people clamored angrily for Jesus' blood. She was there when the Roman whips were lashing through the air and literally stripped the flesh off of Jesus' back. She was there when the thorny crown had been crushed mockingly over Jesus' brow. She was there when he staggered through the streets of Jerusalem bearing the weight of his own cross upon his wounded shoulders. Mary was there as she wrapped her arms in comfort around the mother of our Lord. She was there to close our Lord's eyes one final time as she laid him in a tomb. Yes, Mary was there. So it's not surprising at all that Mary also wanted to be there one final time to show love to her Lord. And so we read in the early mists of the morning, she rises up from her sleeping mat, she takes up spices and aloes, and she leaves her home and anticipates now the somber task of preparing the dead body of Jesus. Even now, the image of the last time she saw him is still in her mind. His face, starkly white. Death's odor growing strong and pungent. Her Lord, reduced to a lifeless object. As the dull, purplish light of early dawn began rising above the horizon, she could just begin seeing the warm glow of the sun in this new day. She walks the narrow, gravel-strewn path all the way to the place where they had laid him. Rounding the final bend in the pathway, her eyes are lifted up from her feet, for that's where she was focused until she drew near to that place of death. She began searching anxiously again for the tomb and looking for the rock that had been rolled over the entrance, sealing him away forever. In that singular instance, looking and expecting to see nothing changed at all from the last time she had laid him to rest, she suddenly gasps. The tomb was open. The stone had been rolled aside. Someone has taken the body. And so she turns quickly and runs back to Peter and John. She reports to them what she had seen, and Peter and John needed to see for themselves, and so they begin a foot race to the tomb. Peter arrives first, and when he looks, he is bewildered. John arrives, and he looks, and he believes it must be true. Our Lord's body is gone. Mary simply stands and weeps in the background. Peter and John are still puzzled by what's happened. Their lives had forever been changed by this event. What to do now? As they leave this place of death, struck with even deeper sorrow, Mary remains alone and finally decides that she will look inside, into this dark place of death. As she gets up the courage to look, her eyes adjusting to the darkness. Suddenly, she sees a light in this space of death and darkness. And the light looks like a man. And not only is there one light, but now there are two. Two men shining radiantly like light itself, as if they were candles on each end of the altar space. Then she hears in her heart of hearts a quiet, convincing voice. "Woman, woman, why are you weeping? What are you looking for?" Such a strange message to be spoken in this place of death. Where better to be shedding tears than this place of sorrows? Unless, of course, the question comes from someone who knows something more. So in response to this strange question, Mary suddenly blurts out uncontrollably, "They've taken my Lord, and I do not know where they've laid him." "Oh, where have you taken him, sir? Tell me." Just then, she senses behind her some movement, like the whisper of a breeze through the garden. She turns, and as she looks, she sees another man. It is him. But Mary, strangely enough, does not recognize him. Again, she blurts out, "Where have you taken him, sir? Tell me." And then, the greatest surprise of Mary's life occurs. This one that she looks upon and who looks strangely familiar says, "Why are you weeping? What are you looking for?" And then he says her name. Mary. Mary. And it's as if her eyes are opened for the first time. With a huge surprise gushing up from the depths of her heart, she cries out, "Lord, Lord," and she reaches out for him. I thought you were, how? Dear friends, has it been a while since God surprised you in an amazing way? I think it can be so easy for us to reach that point in our lives when we think that we've got God all figured out. We've got this Easter story all figured out. We've heard it before, Pastor. We know how God works. We've charted His tendencies all throughout our lives. We imagine that if we continue to do the right things, push all the right buttons, say our prayers with the right tone in our voice, practice being faithful in all the right ways, God will do exactly what we expect God to do. No variations, no alterations, no surprises. Just punch in the right sequence, and surely we'll get the response we need, the response we're looking for. Friends, the question this story begs me to ask, and I wonder if it's for you as well, do we have this God thing figured out as well as we think? Is this how we picture God, as completely predictable? Do we imagine that God will only do things in the way that we already have imagined them to be? If so, then I praise God that we're hearing this story that we know so well all over again, that we're privileged to hear of the greatest surprise that could ever be. For we're all reminded today, once again, friends, our God, is always at His best, just when we think life is coming unraveled. Don't believe me? Listen again with your hearts to the voice of witnesses who have proclaimed good news that was surprising throughout the ages. You can see it again and again and again throughout God's Word. Listen with your hearts, friends, to what our dying Lord proclaimed as His arms were stretched out in death upon a cross. And He looks at the repentant thief next to Him and says, surprisingly, "Today, you will be with me in paradise." Listen with your hearts, friends, for the joy that literally erupted in the minds and hearts of those sisters, Mary and Martha, after they had buried their dear beloved brother and he had laid in a tomb for days. And Jesus came and stood outside this place of death and said, "Lazarus, come out." And they were able to embrace their resurrected brother once more. Listen, friends. Listen with your hearts as the disciples tell us of how the wind and waves rose upon the Sea of Galilee and they were rowing for their lives. They thought they were at the mercy of the elements themselves. And as they cried out in agony and in fear, Jesus simply spoke a word that brought all things into order. "Peace, be still." Listen. Listen as the voice of a blind man who was begging for the mercy of others as he sat by a roadside now uses his voice to praise the living God as he says, "With his heart, Jesus gave me my sight. He said to me, 'Receive your sight. Your faith has made you well.'" Listen. As we hear with Mary once again today, the voice of the risen Lord crying out her name in a place of sorrow. Mary, Mary, how is it that we see God, friends? Are we anticipating His presence, His power in our lives, His peace to be restored? Do we look with the eyes that are looking forward to something that we can't possibly imagine? Are we anticipating the surprise? If we will dare to see the inspired Word of our God as a true witness of how God works, revealing Himself through the ages, appearing in the most unexpected of places, doing the most unexpected of things, bringing smiles to hearts that are filled with sorrow, placing twinkles of hope in the midst of tears, arching rainbows through thunderclouds, calling out names in places of death, then maybe we're beginning to faithfully embrace this marvelous story for how it is intended. What a surprise it must have been to Mary to hear the voice of the one she had yearned to hear and thought she never would say her name. Mary, Mary. In a way, friends, as we gather on this Easter Sunday morning, we could say that this tale that we know so well is news of a great surprise party. Unexpected guests, wide-eyed amazement, gratitude and joy for the experience. But friends, this surprising experience, this celebration that we hear of today, once again, pales in comparison to the celebration God still has in mind for each and every one of us. Oh yes, it will be similar to Mary's celebration, but much, much, much bigger than we could possibly imagine. as more graves spill open, more names called, more knees bowing in worship and praise, all celebrating the appearance of our Lord in ways we may never expect. Jesus is a God of surprises. And He continues to reveal those surprises for all of us as we wait and watch and hope and believe. May God give us all the eyes to see and hearts to welcome great surprise.